If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse number 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture, the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And the Bible says in verse 6, and this he said to prove him. And it seems that Jesus is using this situation to teach a lesson to the men that he was training for the ministry, the men that after he was gone would continue his work in the world, and they would do it. They would do a great job. They would turn the world upside down after Jesus was in heaven. And he presents to them a great need. He shows them a multitude of people. And he says, how can we feed this multitude of people? And the answer is found in verse number 9. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word tonight. I pray that you'd encourage us and give us a greater vision to love you and walk with you and to do your work, Lord. I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my words, and I pray that I could be a blessing tonight. And we give this time to you, Lord. Pray that you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reading a book. It was actually yesterday evening, I think, and the author was talking about the life of Jesus, and he said, and when I got to looking at this, I had studied it before, but it's true that this was a very, very intense time in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. We can look over at Matthew chapter 14, and we can see more of the details of what's happening here. One thing that's happened is that they've just beheaded John the Baptist. And it seems that not only did they do this to John the Baptist, but they're wanting to do it to the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus comes out of that place, and he goes to the desert to get alone. And I'm sure you can relate to this. He just wants to get alone and rest. And a great multitude of people hears that he's going out and follows him and ruins his day off. Amen. And follows him out into the wilderness. And now he's got 5,000 people. This multitude, it says 5,000 men. It very well could have been many more. And this great multitude has come out to him, and he, although he's exhausted, is still giving himself for these people. He's still teaching. He's still helping them. And not only that, he's got this crazy group of disciples. They're good men. They're crazy. And he's working with the disciples, and he's in the midst of his problems and in the midst of his ministry. He's doing his very best to train these men for when he's not going to be here anymore. It's a very, very intense time in the ministry, in the life of the Lord Jesus. And so he asks his disciples, and I think that this is a great lesson that each one of us can learn. It's good to be tired on a Sunday evening, isn't it? Amen. I know that a lot of you are tired, and I know that you're working hard for the Lord. We drove into the parking lot this evening and walked into the church, and And this is a happening place. Amen. A lot of things are happening. And it's good. It's good to get tired for the Lord. It's good. And those days are going to come when it seems like God is asking more from us than we have to give. And the pressure, it's so heavy. And we're exhausted. And it seems that we can't go on. And it just... And Jesus asked something from his disciples that are in the same situation that he's in this evening. And he says, hey guys, how can we feed the multitude? And Philip here, verse number 7, he said, 200 pennyworth. Maybe, I don't know if this is true, maybe all that we have, all the money we have, all that we can gather, would not be near enough to... And what he's saying is, Lord, there's no way to do what you're asking from us. It seems like we get to those times that more is expected from us than we have to give. The order is too great for our ability. And so what's the answer? We can apply this to missions. Worldwide evangelism, that's a tall order. Lord, how can we fulfill this great command that you've given us? And this is the answer. It was the answer then, and it's the answer today. Verse number 9, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? God's will, God's plan, God's desire to fulfill the want of the multitudes. God's will, God's plan to fulfill what he's asked from us is not crunching numbers like Philip was doing. It's just simply God's people giving themselves totally to whatever he wants. Being sold out. I like that. Sold out to God. I believe that if this young man had had enough money to feed the multitude, he'd have given the money. If he had some other way to do it, if he had something else, he would have given it. But he had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then they asked this question, but what are they? What is this among so many people? What's this, Lord, that I have compared to what you want me to do? And we're going to find in the passage that God took the little that this young man had and he multiplied it to fulfill the need of the great multitude around him. God's will for us is that we would give the little that, and we have to be honest, it's just a little that we have. It's a little bit of ability. It's a little bit of time, a little bit of money. God's will is that we give the little bit that we have. And God wants to use the little that we have to multiply it to fulfill the need that God has asked us to fulfill. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I understand, I am told that barley, the bread made from barley, was the poor man's bread. It was a very poor, and this young man, he had 5 barley loaves, and he had 2, I like that, 2 small fishes. This is what I catch when I go fishing. Just a few barley loaves, just a couple of fish. It wasn't much, but he was willing to give it to the Lord. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. Sometimes the pressure, sometimes the need is so great. But we have to remember it's in his hands. And he can multiply what we have to fill the want of the necessity. All we're supposed to do is surrender ourselves and give ourselves to him. We think of giving... We think of dollars and cents, isn't that right? Isn't that low thinking? Isn't what God most wants I'll get it right eventually. Doesn't God want our heart more than anything else? If he has our heart, he has everything else. He has our wallet. He has our talent. He has our time. I think that verse number 9, the boy giving what he had, I think we can say the boy was giving all he had. I think that it was a manifestation of what was in his heart. It was a heart fully given to God. He was just trying to do all he could for the Lord. That's what God is asking from us. So let me encourage you this evening. From this passage, I see a few reasons, a few great things that happen when we give the little that we have to the Lord. Look with me at verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, I like this, as much as they would. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. 5 barley loaves. I don't know if this is true or not, but I have been told that we think of loaves that more like Little Caesar's breadsticks, loaves. I don't know. Even if they were large loaves, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, how in the world is that going to feed the multitude of people that were before them? And I believe this. I believe this with all my heart. I believe through faithful men of God who've seen testimonies of this, I believe that I can see this in my own life, that when we give the little that we have to the Lord, he will take the little that we have and he'll accomplish the impossible with the little that we have. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. 5, I don't know, maybe, if it didn't count women and children, maybe there were 7,000-10,000 people there that day. It was an impossible thing, but Jesus was able to do the impossible because this young man was willing to give the little that he had. I think about our people, different people down there in Mexico. I think about a man that his business, it's just falling apart right now. It's not all of it. Some of it might be his fault. I don't know. I think of another young man. He's about maybe a little bit younger than me. He's got a precious wife and a boy, and he's made some bad decisions, and his marriage is falling apart. And I think about a man that he's just starting in the ministry, and it seems so hard and such a great task ahead of him. And so many other people I think about. And what's the answer for these people that get into these hard situations? And it seems like there's no way out. And even in our own life, it seems like we're in an impossible situation at times. And what's the answer to see God's power and God's hand in our life in those impossible situations? It's when we're willing to give ourselves to God. We're willing to surrender ourselves anew and afresh to what God has for us. Isn't that good? We get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes we see the problems. And sometimes we see the trials and we want to pull back. And we say, when everything's right in my life, when I get all of these things worked out and it's convenient, then I'm going to serve God and I can do a better job. But no, that's not how it is. So many times we've seen it that good men and servants of God are serving him until it gets a little hard. And they say, I'm going to pull back and I'm going to get things lined out in my own life. And then I'm going to serve him. And the truth is, they that observe the wind shall not sow, is what Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says. While we're waiting for things to be right to serve God, the fact is that we'll never serve God. We see the impossible accomplished in our life when we're willing, in midst of the trial, when we don't have enough, when it's hard, we're willing to give ourselves anew and afresh to the Lord and keep serving Him. We want to see the impossible in our lives. We want to see that. The way we see the impossible accomplished in our lives is that we're willing to do what God wants us to do, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. This boy was just as hungry as everybody else. Amen. And this boy was willing to give what he had to the Lord, even when it was hard. I like that. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. They didn't get just a little bit. Everybody ate until they could eat no more. On our way back from Alamos, every time we had service, instead of trying to fix the guys something to eat, we would stop and get Sonoran-style hot dogs. Amen. Some people here have had a Sonoran-style hot dog. They take the hot dog, and then they wrap it in bacon and fry it. And they warm up a bun, and they'll kind of warm it up in the oil, and they'll put that hot dog in the bun. And then they'll put tomato and mayonnaise. And if you go to the good places, they'll put the ham and cheese in on top of that. And then they'll put some grilled onion and then some raw onion on there and put a little mustard. And they hand it to you, and then they send you over to the bar, the condiments bar, and there's the guacamole to put on top of that and the mushrooms to put on it and the bacon bits. And a lot of times they'll have cucumbers and soy sauce to put on top of that. And then you can put nacho cheese on top of that. And, you know, different places have other stuff, but there's a lot of stuff you can put on it. And by the time they give it to you, one little hot dog is a big deal, you know. And so usually I would eat one, maybe two hot dogs. The boys in the Bible Institute were telling me that they found a place that they could buy one of these hot dogs for 5 pesos. That's like 30 cents. And one of the young men went to the hot dog stand and ate 7 of these Sonoran-style hot dogs. And you imagine, sometimes we don't understand what an amazing thing this was, that 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes could feed the multitude. There were some teenage boys in that multitude. The Bible says they ate as much as they wanted. It was a miracle. We want to see the impossible accomplished in our lives. We want to see God's rich blessings in our lives, but it doesn't happen until we can say that we're sold out. It doesn't happen until we can say we're surrendered. Whatever God wants, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. Verse number 12. Something else I see, that when we give what we have to the Lord, the Bible says, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. When they were filled. This young man had a decision to make. He could eat his lunch, and it was his lunch to be eaten. That was right. There was nothing wrong with that. He had a free will. He could have eaten the lunch, but the multitude wouldn't have eaten. And because he was willing to give the little that he had, the multitudes were satisfied. And that's what God is asking from us. We have this life to live. We have this time. We have this talent. We have, and fill in the blank, we have. And we have a decision to make. We're going to live our life for me, for what I want. Or we're going to live our life so that they can be satisfied, so that they can have what I have. This is beautiful weather, isn't it? It seems like everybody in the world right now, except you guys, they're out riding their motorcycle today, or fishing today, or, and then there again, fill in the blank. And we have that decision. We could do that if we wanted to. We could live just like everybody else lives. But when we decide to live for ourselves, there's some people that won't be satisfied. There's some people that won't ever hear about the Lord Jesus because we decided that we were going to live for ourselves. We were going to eat our own lunch, so to speak. we have this decision to make. Would we give what we have to the Lord so that the multitudes could hear? Or would we live for ourselves and try to satisfy ourselves? I told you about Brother Jesus just a little while ago. He took the church up in Alamos, and he's doing a great job up there. We love Brother Jesus. He has 7 kids, and his wife teaches in the Christian school. Some of his kids are in the Bible Institute, and he works at the church, and then on top of all that, they're pastoring the church up in Alamos, doing a great job. But a few years back, he got a knock on his door. He lives about a mile from the church, about 3 in the morning. And he said that he and his wife had had a long day, and they did not want to answer the door. They did. They got up, opened the door, and there stood his neighbor, lady. And she had been watching them and realized that they were Christians. And she said, "My husband is very sick with cancer, and he's not doing well. Would you come over and talk to my husband?" And so in those early morning hours, they got around, got dressed, and went to the neighbor's house and sat around the kitchen table and began to tell him about Jesus and began to witness to him. And right there at the kitchen table, his neighbor accepted Christ as his Savior. And they were just sitting there making some small talk. And Brother Jesus said that the man put his head down on his hand, then just kind of slumped down. And passed into eternity, died right there, and went to heaven. Amen. And he was willing to go to heaven because there was a family that was living for God. There was a neighbor that had a good testimony. There was a neighbor that was willing to get out of bed and go next door. We all want to see those great things happen. It only happens to those of us that are willing to obey God. Amen. Willing to put others' needs before our own. I like that, sold out. Willing to do what God wants us to do. We want to see God's great blessing, his power in our life. We want to see the multitudes satisfied. Then I think this is just a wonderful part of the ministry of living for God. Verse 13, "Therefore they gathered them together." It's talking about the fragments that were left over after they had eaten. "Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." I don't know about this. I can tell you this. The young man gave his lunch and then was surprised to eat his lunch. Amen? Now think about this. The young man gave his lunch and ate more of his lunch than he would have eaten had he kept his lunch. And the Bible says that everybody ate as much as they possibly could that day, and there were fragments left over. And I think that this young man could have eaten more than 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And I believe that this is a great principle. Give and it shall be given. I believe that if you'll live for God and do what God is good. God is good to us. And God takes good care of us. And God blesses us in ways that we couldn't fathom we'd be blessed. God is good to us. I'm going to give you my opinion now. And if you don't like it, well, you don't have to accept it. What happened to the fragments? 12 baskets. Well, I think it went like this. I think the boy went running home. And he runs into the house. He says, "Mama, you wouldn't believe what happened. Come out here." And they go out on the front porch. And standing out on the front porch, there's 12 disciples with 12 baskets full of food. "Boy, where'd you get all that food?" "I gave my lunch to Jesus." Amen. And I think that when we give what we have to the Lord, we'll give our lives to God. God will multiply blessings in our life. God will multiply blessings in our life. There's a young man. He's my age. There's a young man in the ministry there in Mexico, Brother Chuy. And he started in the Bible Institute. And we like to think of the Bible Institute not so much as a Bible college, but more as a team of young people. And so one of the rules that we have is that at least in the first and second year of Bible Institute, no boyfriend, girlfriend, none of that stuff. And so Chewy was, I think he was 19 or 20 when he came into the Bible Institute. What does a 20-year-old young man want to do more than to get married? Amen. But he came into the Bible Institute, by doing that, these young men are saying, I'm going to wait for a while to think about that stuff. I'm just going to give myself to the Bible Institute for a while. And he came in and was doing good and began to rise and be promoted because of his faithfulness. He became the leader in the dorm. He would check the dorm and all that. And then he became a bus captain and is still with us and has been very faithful. While he was on his bus route, one day he was inviting people to come to church. And I don't know if he invited her or if she came because somebody else, but on his bus route, a young lady came on the bus route, Margot, became faithful, was baptized. She joined the Bible Institute. It wasn't but a year or two later or something like that he asked if she would marry him. She said yes. They were married, and they've been serving at the church there for a number of years now. I'm not exactly sure. Think about Brother Chewy for just a moment. He could have thought, man, I'm giving up so much to serve the Lord. I could be, and the world might use this language, I could be dating around. I could be, but he's willing to put God first. And because he was willing to put God first, God put him first. Amen. God blessed Brother Chewy. And I tell you, I believe this all in my heart, God blessed Chewy with a greater blessing than he ever could have found out in the village where he was. And now he has the privilege of having a Christian wife, a Christian home, a refuge from this world. Not to say that they're perfect, but God is good to them. Amen. And I believe this with all my heart. If we're willing to put God first in our life, it may seem, we may not understand it, it may seem that we're losing some things at the moment, but if we're willing to put God first in our life, God will bless us. He'll multiply blessings in our life, and that we'll see more good in our life than we ever could outside of serving God. There is a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Every one of us have something. And we can live for what we want, or we can give ourselves and live for what he wants. We can see the good things that he has for us. I'd like to encourage you this evening. Pastor.